That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It's time for episode 643 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint 182. We'll give you news on that as the show continues on the road back to summer 2023. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. And with me, as always, Brett, Peter, Pedro, Pietros, Morris, a.k.a. Starred. What's up,
yeah.
Starred?
Yeah. What's going on? Happy Blink 182.
Thank
weekend.
You. 420's passed, and now it's 182. You had sent me a text during the week, because we briefly discussed, I think it was on Two Charted, maybe, that Frank Ocean kind of messed up his Coachella headlining set. And people were complaining about it and stuff.
Yeah, and I think we were saying that Frank Ocean was almost the most appealing part of the bill, like, for a lot of people.
Yeah,
I mean,
a lot of people wanted to go see him.
Yeah.
There you go. But once he did perform, people were underwhelmed. They said it was weird and it was unwieldy. And then we wondered aloud, would he get it together by the second weekend?
Right, exactly.
And then you hit me with the text, boom. And they pulled him.
They pulled him.
Yeah.
He got the hook on his neck, you know, off the stage.
Yeah. And then they brought in the Tatnecks. They brought in
Blink. They brought in Blink 182.
The
50-year-old high school kids.
Yeah, there you go. And
you know what? That week, that wedding in Cancun I told you about last week, there was a guy there who I met who was part of the whole wedding party. He had a Frank Ocean tattoo. Like, someone was mentioning Coachella.
I was for sure you were going to say Blink 182 tattoo.
Yeah, but that's the irony of it. It's like someone was mentioning these bands, and you never know, like, what strangers are into, you know? And then he goes, well, actually, man, like, Frank Ocean's one of my biggest inspirations. And he, like, shows this huge tattoo. So I've been thinking
of
him.
Maybe he was going to be heading, like, this weekend I got to be at the wedding, but next weekend I can go to Coachella, see my hero, Frank.
Yeah.
They pulled him.
They pulled him. No mercy.
Yeah,
you got to show up for weekend one.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they can pull off the gig. We'll see if they're able to satisfy the audience over there. And we'll get more into that as we count down our music chart. But first, let's bring in our guest. Here she comes now. You know her from the Let's Talk About Beatles podcast and from her excellent creative visionary visual art. Please welcome to the charts, Katie Plattner.
Hello.
Hey, Katie. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Right on.
The full title is, of course, Screw It, We're Just Going to Talk About the Beatles.
What did I call it?
I think
so
you just
called
it.
We're going to talk about the Beatles podcast, which is accurate.
Which is fine. It's the same sentiment.
And
you know,
I think
in showbiz lingo, you know, we shorten everything. You know, that's the way, that's what we call it in the biz.
I'm pretty sure that ours is the only podcast where people talk about the Beatles. So I don't think there will be any confusion.
Yeah, no confusion.
Yeah.
If you just search Beatles in Google, our podcast probably comes up first.
Nice.
Yeah. Even on Wikipedia.
Optimization.
Right.
How long do you think it'll be before someone copies you and goes into that area?
Hmm. Oh, probably like 12 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think we probably are the loosest Beatles podcast out there. I think the serious answer is, I think like most other podcasts, I mean, I really don't listen to any other Beatles podcast, but they seem to just, it's obviously like very encyclopedic and it's about well-researched takes and everything.
Ours has a very low level of scholarship.
Okay.
Yeah. Like we all know what we know about them, which is probably more than the layman, but we're just more just excited to talk about them, you know?
I see.
And there's jokes.
Right on. Okay, so yeah, you're not just spitting out facts and factoids about the Beatles and doing deep dives. You're having fun.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Sometimes we'll read some basic stats from Wikipedia at the beginning of an episode. That's about as deep as it goes.
Was there anything you learned on the doing it?
I've learned a ton from doing it, actually. Like I grew up listening to the Beatles and knew a lot of the music very well, but was never a person that needed to know like what was up in their personal lives or gear stuff or like any of the drama. And then also I've learned a ton about the solo work since doing the podcast. I was not as familiar with.
What's the most surprising thing we learned about the Beatles?
I think for me, one of the kind of bigger thematic takeaways has been that I think Paul McCartney is more of just a big weirdo than he gets credit for, which I like.
That's great. How so?
Well, I think a common misconception that kind of was laid out after the like John died was a pro John, anti Paul kind of narrative, and it was like Paul was the kind of the asshole and type A. Whatever.
Yeah, they say he didn't have as much talent and stuff.
Right.
And I want to know on the weird shit. What's
I know, but that's what I'm though. Saying is the counter to that. I think Paul was actually the one who like brought in avant-garde into the group.
And has a very
weird personality.
Weird.
He's goofy and musically.
Yeah, I think John gets a lot of credit for being like the cool one, which he was cool. That's fine. But Paul does a lot of stuff that is really experimental or even within the Beatles that he was the one that was doing a lot of like, you know, tinkering and figuring out weird sounds and more kind of involved.
I just sent that picture to the group chat of a 70s picture of Paul in Africa, smoking weed with Fela Kuti.
Would that have been probably while he was there recording Band on the Run?
Yeah, probably. But I know like, I mean, there's just whole secret histories like that that they don't really tell you. Like, he was pretty cool. You know, he was ahead of the game. Even in the 70s.
In that, learning about that album, too, that he recorded it in Lagos in Nigeria. And while he was there, that Fela Kuti came over and was like, "You're here stealing our music." And Paul McCartney was like, "I can assure you that I'm not." And he was like, "I don't believe you." And Paul McCartney played him some of the music and they were like, "Oh yeah, no, you're not at all."
They're like, that white shit. Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have wrote that crap.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. I'm excited to hear more about the Beatles as we move through these modern charts.
We don't have to talk about the Beatles.
We don't have to, but
everything
a joyous
relates.
Group.
Yes, they are.
It's a animated journey through their catalog. And I'll wrap the history of recorded music. Here we go. Music. We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? NFTs? Tunes. That was a rough one.
Yeah, you got some gargle in there. It's only one take. We do this as if
That's
it's
it.
Live.
We got to do it. Like the Beatles, they had 2 hours to record some
That's
of those
right.
songs. Boom, boom, boom.
The first album, they did it all in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they gave Paul second take, so. Get a frog in your throat on Love Me Do. Let's go.
Right. I think that's an actual fact.
Is it?
Yeah, Love Me Do. He sounds so nervous on it. because it's their first ones.
He's begging for love.
Right.
What chart do we have this week?
All right, we got top 40 chart on iHeart. We're going to do the top five.
Nice.
Okay, coming in at number five.
Number five.
The Weeknd with Die For You.
Dramatic.
I can't say I don't love you. Because I love you. It's hard for me to communicate the thoughts that I hold. But tonight I'm gonna let you know. Let me tell the truth. Baby, let me tell the truth.
I wonder what Paul McCartney thinks when he hears The Weeknd. Because The Weeknd sounds like Michael Jackson.
Michael
Jackson bought out Paul's publishing.
Yeah.
Maybe it brings back bad memories.
Or maybe he wants to perform Say, Say, Say with him.
Okay. Make some of the money back.
Yeah.
Just find out who The Weeknd's producer is and then work with them so he can get another number one as like an 80-year-old.
Yeah. He does Dave Grohl stuff. Might as well go with The Weeknd too.
That would be pretty incredible if The Weeknd ended up buying out Paul's songs too.
Just oh my God.
Just to copy his hero even more.
Kick him in the other nut. My God. Yeah, I could see him wanting to do stuff with The Weeknd because it's like he sounds like Michael, but Michael's estate doesn't get any of the money. So it's almost like ripping off Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Apparently The Weeknd is declared the most popular musician on the planet right now.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty shocking to me. But also maybe it is the Michael Jackson connection because...
That's interesting.
I think it's more just the debauchery connection.
Really?
Yeah, kids are all into degradation now. They're all doing drugs. It's just The Weeknd goes with where the kids are at.
They're all dying for each other, I guess. Right? Wasn't that the name of this song?
Yeah,
sorry.
It is.
That sounded bad. Okay. The Weeknd is a good example of someone who I feel absolutely neutral about.
Yeah.
Don't know that much about him. Aware of who he is. He's fine. I don't know. there's something there that I don't connect with personally.
I think that's the trick to international, you know, lowest common denominator success is like
blandness.
Yeah, a little bit of blandness. Like to me, Taylor Swift is a little bit like that too, where it's just
no one really knows what it's about.
This is vanilla ice cream. I can like point to all the influences I'm hearing. It's kind of a direct copy of that thing.
Yeah, like Bruno Mars or something.
Yeah.
Or like, even if you don't like it, you're probably not going to tell someone to turn it off.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fine.
It can be fine.
It works.
In the background everywhere.
Yeah.
A modern day Hootie and the Blowfish. It's fine. It's on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a crowd pleaser. It's like a, you know, G-rated movie or something.
Now, well, the Hootie and the Blowfish comparison brings this up because they had one album that had like 8 number one hits or something that stayed on the radio for years. Are there people who are still doing that where, you know, Drake. Are they having like that many big songs per album?
I think Drake does. Seems like maybe Taylor Swift, not on this last album. But yeah, it is rare, but there are people that just will not get off the charts. And everything they drop is just goes right in. Would you say Start?
I'm sure there are, but I can't think of just a smash album like that that feels like ubiquitous. I can name like that Hootie and the Blowfish album. I could probably call out 4 or 5 songs from if I heard them on the radio and I never listened to that album one time.
I mean, maybe things also just turn over faster. So if there's not as much opportunity for, you know, a song that came out 3 years ago to still be in heavy rotation.
I think there's just no common like source of music we all listen to anymore in the same way. Yeah. So it's harder to just have like 6 ubiquitous songs from an
album. Except for Drake.
Drake, maybe, yeah. I wouldn't be able to tell you because all of his songs sound alike to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know which album that came from. It's just, there's just a constant drip of Drake music, you know?
He's another one that I'm like, I know he's there, and I think I'm mostly just going to not pay attention.
Yeah. Easy to ignore.
Yeah. It's a good, for me, good opt out.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Rima and Selena Gomez with Calm Down. No, no, whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, it's Fela Kuti's Babysitter.
Yeah. It sounds to me like when people write, you like in texts, when they write like LOL.
Yeah. It's just AI reading texts.
You remember on, maybe you could still do it, but on Mac computers, the old kind of text-to-speech thing where it would, you could get it to read it. That was the
Talking
thing,
Moose?
What?
Was it the Talking Moose?
I don't know it by that name. this was just like a, I don't know, out of whatever word processor or something, there was just like a feature where you could highlight and tell it to read it. And it was something that my roommates in college and I used to just play with a lot. And if you typed like grr, like as growling, G-R-R-R-R, it would go grr-r-r-r-r. Had a lot of fun with that.
Psychotic guy.
Yeah, the talking moose was like an old 80s, early 90s Mac thing when Apple was just like a sort of a weirdo, like indie company. And this little moose would just pop up in the corner of the screen and do like text-to-speech. And it had that very classic like text-to-speech voice. But that was like my favorite part of Macs for a long time growing up.
Did it pop up with any other intended purpose? Was it like clippy?
No, you would just type in what you wanted them to say. And it was a great prank, you know, like program.
Because
you could like program little things for him to just pop up randomly and tell people things.
That's pretty funny. That's good. Bring that back.
Bring them back.
Honestly, bring back 2008 iTunes. Give me an iPod. Apple, it's all I want. Don't. Go backwards. It was better.
Let's go back.
You see, they just came out with a whole Apple Music only for classical music. Like an app that's only classical music.
Oh, wow.
It's
kind of
crazy.
Separate app.
They put in like all the Apple resources into just pure one genre.
Wow,
it kind of makes sense. When you look into it, you realize, oh, this would be good if I was like a stodgy, you know, classical fan.
That's something,
why
iTunes,
do you think?
Because you used to be able to input all the information, so artist, album title, all of that. But you could, like, there is a separate entry for composer or for performance. So, I mean, I cataloged a lot of my mom's classical music CDs in iTunes, and a bunch of them, like, it was nice to be able to search by a specific composer or specific group or whatever.
Yeah. Howard, it's sorted more by composer versus who actually is playing.
I see. It's, you know, by the writing of it. That makes sense. Cause I wonder why they would want their own app. And then, I could see it's kind of couture to just have it all like away from like the shitty pop music and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But the idea that they would search by composer makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Like, oh, it's got to be different.
I think you
can
search by conductor too. Or, like, you know, there's very famous conductors like Leonard Bernstein and stuff. You could just like see all of his works.
Maybe you go woodwind. You could search by like, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Give me something with a flute.
One flute, not two.
Yeah.
Not two.
Like the ladies who order the, you know, or not just ladies, but people who have the tiresome orders at restaurants or at Starbucks.
Oh, my God.
mean, give me two flutes. I want one trumpet with a mute. It has to be muted or I won't listen.
Right.
Yeah, half tuba'd.
Yeah, half tuba.
Yeah.
I want the 700-year-old tuba.
Right. On a quintet, not a quartet.
Not a quartet.
A venti quintet.
I want the oboe resting on the floor. What?
I remember like in the LimeWire days and stuff, like searching for certain classical songs. And I would get back these weird versions because, again, there's like 1,000 versions of that classic song you want to hear. And you would hear the guy's nose whistling and breathing like as he's playing it. And people would be like, this is the best version. Like you can hear.
They mic'd his nose.
Breathing.
Yeah.
Like classical fans are weird, I guess is my point.
They brought his nose into Abbey Road and mic'd it separately.
I feel like there'd be utility for that even in pop music because, for example, you know, there are Lennon McCartney songs performed by people other than the Beatles. Or if you wanted to sort by that, you'd get not just songs that they did there that they wrote but didn't perform, but also like Beatles covers or.
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah.
I don't think it has to be exclusive to classical.
No.
Well, then they messed up over there. Just blended in with everybody else. Put it with your dubstep.
I thought you were relating that to nose versions, like versions with a lot of nose sounds. Yeah. Like I want to hear a Beatles through the nasal cavity.
Album. Can we get the
especially Ringo
Giles Martin remix? Yeah. Highlight the breathing.
Yeah.
All right, coming in at number three, Metro Boomin with Creepin'. This also has The Weeknd on it, so he's on it twice.
When I hold you. Yep, that's him. When looking in your eyes, I can't
believe. And I don't need to know the truth. The kids just must think they're in a soap opera these days.
How so?
Well, doesn't this just sound like a slow motion, like soap opera scene? Yeah.
Oh, the drama inherent in the scene. Yeah.
Yes.
It feels like it would be, I don't know what, if there probably is, but if there's a modern equivalent of like the OC, I think this could make the soundtrack.
There you go. One Tree Hill. Oh, man.
Is that the modern version?
All right.
I feel like a lot of these, are really in the same ballpark so far. All three of these.
For sure. Usually like 3 through 5 sound pretty
This
similar.
Doesn't happen in the classical app. Like, oh, The Weeknd again. I don't know.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
SZA with Kill Bill. This is a good one. His new girlfriend's next
Was SZA at Coachella this year?
Let me look.
She should be.
She should be. I agree.
She was on a couple years ago. She was great.
Oh, Bjork was there. I didn't know that.
What?
Oh, nice.
No, I don't see SZA.
You know, guess what the cheapest ticket package is for Coachella these days?
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. 700?
Well, the cheapest is $549, tier one.
Okay.
$549. Cheapest. Yeah. Entry level, Coachella. No one is against you. That's what they say is great about Coachella. The East Coast festivals, people push you. They bump into you. Coachella,
okay, yeah.
It's spread out. I was thinking years I was there, it is kind of like... If you just stay away from the front of the stage, it's pretty like, it's pretty not mellow. Like claustrophobic.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never been.
I went one time, and that was enough for me. But
yeah,
it was hot. I'm from Arizona, so I can do desert stuff okay. That that was okay. It was very windy one day, so it was like super dusty. And yeah, I think it was 2014. And so Outkast was there. And that was the one where I was there, I think weekend one, and their set got delayed just because of the wind. And then they still had like a hard cutoff at 11 or midnight or whatever the time was. Yeah. And they were so mad that it like, you could tell their mood was affected. And they were like, Killer Mike's here. He was about to come out. And then they were like, nope, they're telling us we have to stop. And so that was a bummer.
Oh, that's a bummer.
What about the daylight savings over there? Couldn't they like figure out a way to get an extra hour?
Emergency daylight savings.
Yeah.
Call in a favor.
That's true.
That's crazy because I thought the whole point of going over to like Indio and stuff is almost just like this lawless desert. Like, yeah, why would you have to have a curfew over there?
I don't know, because I actually...
There are residences. There are, like, a lot of people who live right around there, kind of. I mean, more than Burning Man, you know. It's not just, like, out
It's not completely in the middle of nowhere. But it does not feel like there are close neighbors. But one of the things that I had a hard time with being there was, like, yes, you can get space away from crowds or other people, but there is nowhere you can go that is even remotely quiet. Like, there's no chance to take a break in that way. So given how the sound carries, I do understand if you're even within a mile of it, you're probably hearing it from your house.
Yeah.
I'm also reading that Blondie was there.
Really?
Yeah, which is interesting.
That's cool.
How would they fit them in?
Not Blondie, sorry. Debbie Harry, with the year that I was there, performed a couple of songs with Arcade Fire, including Heart of Glass, which was cool.
Collapse. They happen out there.
The glory days. All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Miley Cyrus with Flowers.
See things you don't understand.
Comfortable saying the top two were the best two songs of those five.
There you go. Having the sisters.
Only
sisters
those.
Are doing it.
I just think they both were, I guess, melodically more interesting. And felt more like a song and less like a vibe.
Yes. Good call.
Totally.
Yeah. They went somewhere for sure.
Yeah. I saw a bunch of girls like, you know, singing along to this one in Mexico. So I could tell it has like immersed itself. Like we were kind of ripping on it at first because it sounds so much like I Will Survive and like Gloria Gaynor 70s stuff.
Even
but then, yes, sir.
They play that at the brothel, huh? I wouldn't have thought they would be one of those.
Yeah.
Just kidding, gang. Hey, before we get off the music chart, I don't know if you can find this, but this country singer named Brantley Gilbert. You guys might have heard about this, but he's like a chart-topping guy, Brantley Gilbert, on the country charts. Okay. So he came out on stage and he drank a Bud Light and then he smashed it on the ground, you know, because of the trans influencer thing.
Yeah.
And they said that he was singing a cover of a Queen song at
no
the time
way.
That he did it.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, paid for that beer. So that's not what a boycott is.
There you go. Right.
Yeah.
Drinking the beer, which is not what a boycott is.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. So what a statement where you just absolutely missed the mark on everything you're trying to say.
Everything.
Yeah. That's like that Kid Rock one too, where he had like cases of Bud Light and that he was machine gunning.
Yeah.
He missed most of it. But it's like, hey, you bought all those cases.
That's they also idea. Need a trans. So the trans need to pool their money together and buy a gun company. So then like those guys can't shoot that gun. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Oh, like yeah, an existing good. Like buy. I don't know what. The,
yeah, they need a sponsor.
How old am I?
Yeah, I don't know brands. I don't know gun brands.
Smith & Wesson.
Smith & Wesson. There's one called HK. I know that because it's my initials. But
oh, wow.
Then they got to boycott the guns. Oh, no.
Man, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
They could somehow pool the funds together to get a sponsorship.
Yeah.
They could solve this thing.
They buy like Desert Eagles or something.
Right.
Yeah. I gotta study they should up just on buy, guns. They should just buy the U.S. military.
Yeah, buy the U.S. military.
Yeah.
That was the music chart.
That's the music chart, yes.
And we'll be right back with the movies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Movies. I got a Beatles flip book. Should I go get it?
Sure.
You can hear the sound of the pages on the pod.
Yeah. Have you guys seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not this exact thing, no.
Yeah, it's you should just get like it. Their album covers, but you flip it and then they like change a little bit. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Beatles.
I feel like that SZA song, I like SZA's voice and I can understand maybe 40% of the words she says when she sings.
Sure. It's all about killing your ex.
Oh, okay. Great.
That's kind of why I like it, because that is the more Beatles-y of a song. Like,
the SZA one? Heard.
Yeah.
Run for your life kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but and it has like cool, like very melodic, like chord changes.
It's like
stuff.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but then, about murder.
It is like Run for Your Life. You're right. It's like
is that a Beatles song?
It is, yeah. Where John,
which one's
is,
that?
John is murderously. Yeah.
It's the last song on Rubber Soul. Is that right?
How does it go?
Yeah. Run for your life if he can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand.
Because it starts with, yeah. "I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man."
Oh,
yeah, it's very violent.
Intense.
Wait, that one's an early one, isn't it?
Like mid period.
What album?
Rubber Soul.
Oh, really? I always thought that was like where they were just like getting it together, the skiffle.
Yeah.
Run, little girl.
Run, little girl.
Run, little girl. Like, you know, they're just making it up as they go along. Anyway, I got my Beatles flip book.
All right. Yeah, let's see it.
Okay. Ready?
Nice. Oh, I see. Oh, whoa.
Oh, I see. So it goes like between them.
Cool. It almost like animates between all the album covers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Nice.
That's cool. I've never seen that.
You want it? Give me your address. I'll mail it to you right now.
If that's real, I'll take it. Wow. You don't have to do that.
That's awesome.
Now that's
fun. I performed it. It's like a mic drop. I don't need it anymore.
Seriously. Flipbooks are kind of I wonder how like the creators of flipbooks feel that people are just done with the book within 10 seconds.
Yeah. I made one a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just like for a tiny visual gag in like a short that I made. And I think spent more time drawing the flip book than literally any other part of the, like, more time than I spent writing or shooting or editing.
Oh, yeah. It dwarfed the project itself.
Yeah, it's time intensive.
Yeah, it's like puppets, I guess. It's like a
or stop motion and stuff.
I used to do that just with doodles and, like, you know, a little post-it, like, pack. And super fun. It's always, like, thrilling to actually see it sort of work.
When it works, it is exciting. Or for stop motion kind of stuff, Vine used to actually be really good for that because you could just do a little tap for each frame.
Yeah, oh, right.
Oh, right, yeah. People did cool stuff on there.
Rest in peace,
Vine.
Yeah,
nobody really does that. I don't see it on TikTok, like the really, like, people pushing the envelope visually. They seem like they did it more on Vine, like people were trying to do that more.
I think TikTok is so... Everything about it is so, like, monetized or aimed at churning out content constantly. And so a really time intensive craft. But I mean, it is a bummer. Like, I get sometimes, I don't use TikTok, but I get the appeal in the sense of, like, that's what was fun about Vine or early Twitter or stuff where it was just people who you had no idea who they were, but just people being really creative.
Yeah.
I do like that.
It's the best for that. Shall we get in the movie chart?
Let's do it.
Shall we do a 2023 version?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Movies used to be silent. Nowadays, they are loud and violent. For most of them, I am not a client. Whoa, fucking giant movies. I messed up one part.
Nice.
But that's about the size of it. Movies, they're back.
That sums it up.
Are filling up.
I like imagining that you wrote that in, like, 1935 or whenever, when King Kong came out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Right.
They're too violent. This thing is too big. I can't.
I was just thinking. Right. I don't think
ban these things.
I don't think anyone would have been more annoyed with that change than Howard. Like, if you were back, in 1935, you'd have just been like, "What? The best part of this was it's silent."
Oh yeah, it's nice and quiet. Then the guy comes out with their megaphone. Movies, come on, right, movies. Exactly.
You want to get into it?
Yes.
All right. Coming in number five.
Number five.
This is Air.
Afford it. I'm willing to bet my career on one guy.
My name's Sonny Vaccaro. I'm with Nike.
Do you typically make it a habit of showing up at people's front doors unannounced?
I don't like to take no for an answer.
Oh, man. Here we go.
You ask me what I do here. This is what I do. I find you players, and I feel it this time. Yeah, okay, it's risky. When you were selling sneakers out of the back of your Plymouth, that was risky. Don't change that now.
They should make this movie for Chuck Taylor, so, like, all the gangsters that wear them.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, that'd be, like, great.
I got this new idea. It's called the drive-by, and I want to have your shoes on when I do it.
Right.
It's a little more difficult with Chuck Taylor's, I guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty sprawling movie.
It's problematic. Yeah.
The premise of this is what is he doing with Nike? And I mean, I assume Air Jordans. Is that what?
Yeah. It's about the Air Jordans and how they, really Jordan should have been with Converse or Adidas, but he went with the lesser known Nike.
Oh, okay.
It's quite an exciting tale.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
the tale of the corporate back end.
One corporation beat the other one.
Right. Well, like Ford versus Ferrari, or like our modern mythology is like, where did brands come from?
Yes. That's what it is.
That
sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah. Instead of rooting for people or innovators or freedom, we're rooting for, market share. You know, they got the.
Right.
This guy made so much fucking money. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank God it wasn't Reebok. We'd all been speaking Reebok. You know, like when they go, we beat the Germans, or we'd all be speaking, beat the Nazis.
Speaking Reebok.
We'd all be speaking Reebok.
Squeaking the little basketballs on the tongues of our shoes at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pumping it up. We'd be pumping it up. We'd be doing crazy.
I will say, though, someone who was a kid and was highly covetous of Air Jordans. But Reebok was right up there, even, you know, for years, even after Air Jordans came out.
Yeah, people wanted the Reebok.
Because they had those pumps, the Reebok pump.
Yeah.
It freaked me out. Like the commercials were just seemed like the coolest shit of all time.
So brilliant to market that towards kids. Cause like I work with kids, and if there is like, have you ever seen a kid get near an elevator door? Like they will fight each other over who gets to push the button. Like just little or fidget spinners, those little poppet things. It's they want to push stuff. They want to squeeze stuff. It's perfect.
They want to pump it up.
I still remember, I have a visceral memory of my friend. He's a family friend and he was my age. And he was exactly that kid who was like, always got the newest, best thing or got the thing that you were so proud of, but got a little bit better version. Like he always had to have a one-up thing happening. And I just remember like being at home and I had like some new Nikes or something. And I was proud. And then all of a sudden he puts his foot up on the table, like, and he's got the new Reebok pumps and he starts pumping in front of us. He slams it up. Like, look what I got. And I was just like the absolute seething jealousy in that moment.
No, seething cope.
I still remember it. Seething cope.
And I don't mean to start some shit here, but do you think that was him or do you think like his parents were doing that to your parents?
Oh, yeah. His parents, generational,
for sure.
It was definitely part of his parents' personalities also.
Those pricks.
Yeah. I remember he thought that his dad thought he was going to go to the Giants. Like he was completely like mediocre at baseball, but his dad was just like,
you didn't have the tools.
I think he's going to the Giants one day.
He'll just be like, the Giants.
Yeah. All right. Coming in number four.
Number four.
Renfield. Is this Nick Cage?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Are you okay? I need to get out of a toxic relationship.
Why don't you start by telling us what brought you here?
My boss, he's different.
You can't get him out of your head.
No.
I need your assistance.
This is if Renfield went to destroy you with the snap of his group therapy.
Wouldn't even need to snap.
Wow. You know, Renfield is Dracula's assistant.
That's right.
Yeah. So is he like, so now it's a familiar or is he also a vampire?
Oh, I think he's not a vampire. He's just a guy. He's just like a crazy henchman, like Gal Friday type, like Task Rabbit. He gets him to do.
He's like Smithers.
Yeah.
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 But he's always nuts. And I mean, this is kind of it feels a bit like what we do in Shadows.
Yeah.
We're going to take the horror and make it a UCB style.
Yeah.
And I love that movie.
That
this one looks
great.
Like it could be good.
I don't know. What we do in the Shadows, the show also, and the show does kind of similarly have plots about familiars that feel taken advantage of in like a work relationship way.
Right.
Looks very different, seems stylistically different.
Yeah. Perhaps it's good. I like with the Nick Cage movie to wait because, you know what I mean? Like when they're intentionally good, maybe they're not. And then when they're just off, they wind up aging well.
Yes. Yeah, you got to give a Nick Cage movie like a little time.
Yeah.
To gauge.
Bad Lieutenant's a crazy one.
Got to gauge the Cage.
Vampire's Kiss. Peggy Sue Got Married. They're all kind of aged better than they were when they came out. Age the Cage. That's what I'm saying.
Age the Cage. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
John Wick, Chapter 4.
Come back.
If you win. You'll have your freedom. And when I see you, I'ma take
what I want, so. Amen. Yeah. You ain't real, hold down. Y'all feel the wrath of a killer.
Okay, what movie company made this movie?
Real answer?
We don't have
Lionsgate?
The real. Lionsgate.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like kind of like the Air Jordan movie.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a movie where Lionsgate really wants the John Wick franchise, but it might go to
Paramount. Right. Yeah, there you go. That's going to be the next kind of movie.
What? This is a story about Lionsgate.
But that one will win an Oscar because it's about movies.
Right. Yeah. It's meta. Yeah.
I want a movie about the decision to syndicate Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could have went. They could have just put it on DVD.
Right.
Syndicated.
Just like, who, like.
KCAL 9 got it, not 11.
The guy that's, cousin Greg on Succession or something has like a cameo as Larry David or something. I don't know.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's about the business guy. It's not about.
What if it went creative. To another guy?
Yeah.
What if it went to the guy from.
That's so Globe. Insane.
Yeah.
This must just be what interests the executives at this point, right?
Exactly. Inside baseball.
Yeah.
My husband recently saw this John Wick 4. So I've been hearing a lot about the John Wick franchise. And they sound fun if you like watching people kill each other like a lot. But it sounds creative because the director of these was Keanu Reeves' stunt double on The Matrix. So he's like a stunt guy and then turned into like a director and choreographer. And apparently a lot of it is.
Isn't that what that train movie was the same guy, I think.
Which
Statham was on a train last year.
Remember? Oh, Brad
Bullet
Pitt.
Train?
Oh, Brad Pitt. Yeah.
Bullet Train. Oh, I don't know if that was the same guy.
It was like a stunt man turned director type of deal.
That makes sense to me. As a movie.
Yeah, I mean, those guys that.
So this guy looks just like Keanu Reeves and he's directing him?
Or at least they're approximately the same height. Charge.
That's pretty amazing. I could imagine him going like, sir, like, I can't do what you're asking me to do. And he goes, yes, you can. Watch me do it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Look at my. I've been doing it for you for years.
Yeah.
It
would be your eyebrows like this. I promise you can do it.
You can't do it. I'll do it then.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Or it's like in The Last Dance in that Michael Jordan documentary, how much he's like, I'm not asking anybody to do something I won't do. And it's like, are going, a superhuman. Like,
you're Michael Jordan.
That is not a reasonable standard.
Right, you're a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so. I was so fascinated by that documentary.
It's amazing.
It's like, wow, your psychology is. No one else can even have that kind of brain. You had such a specific experience that no one else had.
What documentary is this?
The Last Dance that came out a few years ago.
The Michael Jordan documentary. If you
the Jordan doc.
Yeah, okay. If you haven't seen it,
talking about
it.
Keanu. Oh, yeah. No, that's crazy.
No, just like his mentality. He's just unable to relax ever or to be just like happy with his accomplishments. He's always got a chip on his shoulders.
Always got to be beating someone's ass at something.
Yeah. It did yield it comes up so much in the show, but then the meme that came from it of the like, and I took that personally. It's like, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of it's like not personal at all.
Yeah.
It's just an excuse for him to dominate.
Yeah. Someone being like, actually, I physically can't jump as high as you can. And he's like, what?
The funny thing to me about Michael Jordan is you want to hear like all the insights and basketball insights from someone who's like the best ever. And you imagine they have so much wisdom, but he almost makes like the worst basketball analyst you can imagine because it's just so biased towards him. Like, everything's just like, Steph Curry's not that good or whatever. Yeah, he's just like bitter about anyone.
Yeah, you don't learn anything. Good. You're just like, he sucks.
Or I feel like he's not as negative about other people, but sometimes like Paul McCartney talking about music, he'll be like, and and it's just da 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 da. And I'm like, don't know what you're talking about. My brain does not know how to do that.
It's too easy for him to be able to teach it to
exactly,
anybody.
Yeah. Or what's basic to him is not to other people.
Yeah, there's a clip I saw of Bob Dylan saying how in awe he was of McCartney. He's like, he can do it all. That's the guy I'm scared of. He can do it all and it's so easy for him.
Yeah. It is just so easy. That clip of him with Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic, and they're doing the like kind of Nirvana with Paul song.
Yeah.
And the song rips. Like, it's really good. Paul's like screaming at the top of his lungs, even as an old guy. It's like super good. And Dave Grohl, after it, they're all like done. And he's just like, oh my God. And he says something like, I wish it was always that easy. Or he says, like, they should all be that easy. And then Paul's just like, it is. You see it, is that easy? You see his brain just, like, explode. Like, wait, you're telling me, like, all of those Beatles songs probably were that easy for you?
What if he went, you know, it's just, it's easy for guys like me and Kurt, but for you, Dave.
yeah.
It's going to take a bit of work.
That's there. There's a really good documentary about the Wrecking Crew. Backing musician or studio
love
musicians.
That one. Yeah.
And yeah, we're there talking about Brian Wilson coming in for Pet Sounds, and he just like has every song fully composed in his head to the point that he's like, okay, you on this instrument do this, and tells them their line, and okay, you on this instrument do this. And he's like 23.
Wow.
Doing, and I'm like, I'm 35, and I don't
come from,
I don't know the difference between when I'm hungry and when I'm tired. Like, how do you, don't know.
Right.
Wait, he was like that too.
That's probably, well, yeah. You're right. He didn't excel at taking care of himself.
He was also so just like sleeping on the floor. It face down.
Yeah, maybe I need to do worse and some other things, and then my music.
No, you could brag on. Like, yeah, I'm a lot like Brian Wilson. You know, I can't take care of myself, and I go to hell if someone's there to feed me.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two,
The Pope's Exorcist. That makes it sound like this is the Pope's version of The Exorcist.
I know.
Yeah.
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Pope's Exorcist.
Ruth's Chris Exorcist.
Ruth's Chris Exorcist. Oh, God. That's the name of this movie now for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Ruth's Chris Exorcist.
Oh, that is so funny.
I'm curious what qualifies you to be an exorcist rather than, like, they're both priests, yeah? So is he just out of the running for being the Pope for some reason? You know what I mean? Is there,
can't be the Pope? All right. He's not allowed to be the Pope because he deals with the demon too much, you mean?
I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs, because just that he's the Pope's exorcist. First of all,
I see.
How many people around the Pope are getting possessed? I'm
still even just picking up what that even means. You're saying like this is the Pope's chosen priest.
Yeah, in the little description, it just said that based on a real story of a guy who did a bunch of exorcisms in Vatican City. And then
Why can't the most powerful Christian do them? The Pope should be like,
I was hoping that this would be like the Pope himself is performing the exorcist.
Like, then the apostrophe S is like the Pope is exorcist.
Yeah.
Instead of a possessive. But possessive, now it's a pun.
Isn't
the movie's good? I've already decided.
The Pope's exorcism. Yeah, I don't know.
The Pope probably has pun guys too to come up with the puns. But yeah, that would be cool if it was like this demon is serious. Like it's not gonna answer to just anybody.
Yeah.
The Pope has to do
it. Is so funny. It's inherently funny. When you put it that way, it's really funny to delegate a task out like that. Like if you're the Pope and somebody's literally possessed by the devil and you go, hey, you take care of
you do it. Yeah. I'm busy. I got more important things than the devil.
Then the devil is
maybe
here.
Maybe though, that's what makes you a good Pope is knowing how to delegate.
Oh, good
that's,
call.
That's an important aspect of leadership.
Right.
True. The Pope's yogurt guy. Like, how many different guys does he have?
Yogurt guy.
I get him as yogurt. Just as yogurt.
Yeah.
Pope's like Kramer from Seinfeld, where he's got like a guy for everything.
Yeah. It's remarkable how much this seems to follow the same beats as just The Exorcist.
Oh, right.
Like for being the Pope's exorcist.
Right. Yeah. What happens? He's just like, does it at the Vatican? Or like,
right.
What makes it popey?
Yeah.
Also, they got to stop saying that these are true stories. You can't.
Oh, God. Based on it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just can't keep calling every exorcist movie a true story.
Or,
yeah, I mean, Air is a true story.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Even especially for Exorcism, because when you just really think back, like what the true story probably is, with just like pre-1970s mindsets. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of fucking religious, crazy people torturing some like mentally ill kid.
Yeah,
you
some
know?
Guy had MS and they thought he was, you know, yeah. a witch, a warlock.
Throwing holy water at him.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to take their side.
Yeah.
Well, that's it's how it really happened. So this is real.
Yeah. True. Yeah, it's true. It's authentic. The true origins of evil.
All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
The Pope's Super Mario Brothers movie. Oh.
The Pope's Donkey Kong.
Wow. Yay.
But there's one problem. There's a human. Has a mustache. Just like you.
Do you think I know every human being with a mustache wearing an identical outfit with a hat with the letter of his first name on it? Because I don't.
Who's playing Luigi?
Charlie Day.
Oh, okay.
Who is Luigi?
What do you mean?
He, like, is canonically in the story?
Yeah.
He's Mario's like brother.
Co-worker?
No, they're brothers.
Oh, they're brothers?
Super Mario Brothers.
That's unbelievable.
It does imply that his name is Mario Mario.
I've never thought of that.
And that Luigi is Luigi Mario.
Oh, okay.
Well, or actually, now I'm not sure about this. I don't remember. Maybe this is not true in for Japan, but I know in other East Asian countries that they'll say the surname first. So maybe maybe their last name is Super.
Oh, okay. Super Brothers.
I don't think that's real.
Luigi,
I'm making that up.
Mario Super Brothers.
Yeah.
Luigi Super
Brother.
What's a Super Smash Brothers? What's that?
Good question. I guess now they're all brothers, like every single character from the
their
whole
parents adopted
Nintendo
Bowser
canon.
And Peach.
Yeah, why is that
and
called
Yoshi?
Brothers? I mean,
and
Japan just does what it wants with these video games and we all accept it. And they're always so fun that you don't even question the logic.
Right.
Yeah.
Which one's the older brother? Lou, is Mario older?
I would guess yes, because he's the main one. Because
yeah,
because my first instinct was to say
brother.
Luigi's older, but I think it's just that he's taller. So
yeah,
that's not how that works.
Yeah, Mario seems older.
Mario's older. Wait, they're twins though. Mario is Luigi's older twin brother. That's what I'm reading.
Oh my God.
Well, they're fraternal. I'm comfortable
fraternal,
saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always preferred Luigi. He
really?
Seems like he could jump higher in the second game. And I was always thinking so you're physically like superior to Mario, but you get the short end of the stick in all these games. Always number two. But
fitting for a plumber.
Mario is like he's a big piece of shit. He can't jump.
Yeah.
He's like
he was always just like he had like the most middle of all the skill sets, you know?
Right.
In the most average, but then the other characters could do certain things he couldn't do.
Also, we all know Mario's job and he's never at work.
He's always
Do they ever show his license? Do we know? Stolen Valor.
They should have an actual plumbing game.
Yes.
It's the one game they don't have, the one Mario.
But wait, so when he's saving the girl from the gorilla, that's not his job. Like that's
personal.
He could get fired. He could get fired from his job for being busy with that.
Yeah.
Taking too much
could.
Personal days.
Jumping all those barrels.
And then he's fatter, so he's made the cart go slower. I would pick like Yoshi because you go, oh, that cart's gonna go fast with Yoshi in it.
Yeah. except you know when you think about the top speed, you got to think about acceleration and top speed.
Right.
The heavy guys always have like the higher top speed. I feel like.
But then they're harder to maneuver.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, but that's real life physics. So. This is
my favorite is Wario.
Game.
Do you know
all based in reality?
Do you know if Wario and Waluigi are in this movie?
Yeah, who are those guys?
They're evil
like the weird
versions,
evil.
Right? Bizarro versions.
Yeah,
this is my favorite thing that they call. They have because they came up with Wario. Then by logic, they have to come up with Waluigi, which is the dumbest
Waluigi,
name.
Waluigi, right.
Instead of just, I guess, yeah, because you can't just do an upside down L. Although that might be a Greek letter.
Waluigi.
Yeah, seven Uigi.
Waluigi.
Yeah. Seven Uigi.
Seven Uigi.
I don't think that they are in this one.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have to say, it puzzled me, like, why does that make so much money and why is it number one? But that was easily our most, you know, that was our longest, most interested discussion in any of these movies.
Right, yeah.
So there's something to be said for, you know, IP and, you know,
yeah,
something that's already familiar.
I know that people are, like, over it, or it's probably a hacky opinion at this point, but I still find the voices just, like, disgusting to me.
That it's
like
Chris that, Pratt.
That, yeah, like that they are using those American ass accents. And
yeah.
They just sound like they're from the Valley or something.
I've heard great things about Jack Black as Bowser. So I'm willing to let that one slide. Yeah.
Because he can be an actual monster with his voice.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, a movie based on IP. I recently saw the Dungeons and Dragons movie. It's real fun. I didn't know what to expect. But yeah, it's like a just fun fantasy movie that's well done. And you don't have to, like, it has fun specifics from D&D, but you don't have to know that to get it. A lot of parts got some big, real laughs out of me. I was very pleasantly surprised.
We were joking last week that it should have, like, a narrator telling you, like, what the next move's going to be for each part.
For the DM.
Or, like, a big, like, the screen goes black and there's a dice roll.
Oh, or there's, like, buttons on your armrest to make choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously,
choose your own adventure.
Do they address, like, rolling dice at all or, like, gaming elements?
No. So, it's purely within the character perspective, not a player perspective. Okay. But it is fun because there are moments where if you've played that it does, yeah, like it's not mentioned explicitly, but where you could kind of infer, like, ooh, they rolled really well to do this thing they were trying to do, or oh, they rolled shitty and so they messed this whole thing up.
They made a good roll.
Right. That's funny. Right on. I'm sure Brian Posehn.
People
has
bring
seen it
pizza
many times.
And like, yeah, they bring like soda and pizza and just Jolly Ranchers and shit. whenever I would see people playing that game, there'd always like candy and pizza and chocolate and shit everywhere.
Dude, when I mentioned Brian Posehn, because when he did Nerd Poker, the podcast, I think he still does it independently, but when they did it at Earwolf and I would record it, every one of those guys would be bringing in Arby's and Jack in the Box and
have
all this food, like the most of any podcast. I'm like, you're going to fucking chow all of that down on the podcast?
On mic.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. But as a character, as a medieval warlord.
Yeah, as an ogre.
He's a ravenous ogre.
Yeah. Fun times. All right. That's our movie chart.
Right on. That's the movies, and we'll be right back with the hot picks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the Hot Picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who bought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks.
These are the Hot Picks. We'll see if we did better than iHeartRadio. I'll bet we did. You know, on this week where Blink 182 is replacing Frank Ocean, now it's up to us to do our own weird curation.
Right.
What about you guys? If you paid the $5.49 base ticket price expecting to see Frank Ocean, and then you find out he's gone, it's going to be Blink 182. For a lot of people, that's got to be a deal breaker. Like maybe they're going on Craigslist trying to sell the tickets or something.
Yeah.
For some segment, it's got to be. I mean, I would be pissed if that was like my number one reason for going. But
and also because it wasn't the deal that prior to week one that Frank Ocean had not performed in 6 years or something
right.
like
yeah,
that.
That's and the whole so thing.
Yeah.
That because that does feel like the kind of thing where to me, I'm not paying to go to a festival unless there are at least like 8 things I want to see.
Yeah, specifics. Yeah.
But I could see how that's like a big enough name and it's a novelty and that it's hard to go to a Frank Ocean show.
Yeah, like, wow, this is our chance. We're seeing him when he hasn't performed.
I feel like Blink-182 is not a bad last minute get. But it is a weird substitute.
It's a weird substitute. And it feels last minute-y. Like, they're just right down there in San Diego. They could drive over. Get them an Uber.
Does 6 years ago feel like that long ago to you guys?
No.
Because I'm at this point in life where that feels like yesterday. But I remember thinking, like, oh, my God, it's been 5 years since Metallica released an album or whatever, like,
right,
like the whole era has passed and we have no yes. idea what they're like now. And now yes. I'm like yeah. 6 years, like
6 years.
Well, like half of yeah. those have been COVID. So,
right.
Yeah.
A lot of people weren't doing
much. Excuse. Yeah. Nobody yeah. was growing, but you know, maybe it's because it's a younger audience. Like 6 years might be more to that crowd. Cause they're only like yes. 30 or something.
That's like,
or just proportionally, it's a higher percentage of right. their life. Yeah.
It's like 20% of their life.
And then like, yeah. I did see the Pixies reunion at Coachella.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Me too.
It was like, that was, you know, it had been a lot more than 6 years,
yeah.
but it was like, that was a specific thing. Like you're going to get to see them and nobody has seen them in a while. If they had yeah. already, you know, gotten together for a while, it's not as big a deal. So I think right. a lot of people would be disappointed, but they don't have the promoters to blame. They can blame it on Frank because he didn't have his shit together.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to blame him.
Yeah. It seems kind of brutal on his end, just, you know, if it's a mental health thing going on or whatever kind of performance anxiety, sure, valid, but also, oof, you chose a really big thing to come back. Like, what? That's mm-hmm. too big. That's too big of a first show back.
Yes. I heard they were making last yeah. minute changes.
Blow the rust
to the production.
Off at an open mic night or something.
Yeah, yeah, I heard yeah. that there was just like weird production choices and they made last minute changes the day of and like,
yeah.
They were covering him up and yeah, it
yeah,
just
he was
sounded
like
a mess.
Bubble you couldn't see through for part of it.
Yeah. Sounds, I mean, my mind goes to drugs. You go, he's probably on drugs, but it could be something else. But, you know.
Yeah. I don't think it's unreasonable for people to be disappointed.
Not at all.
By either having seen that performance or not getting to see him at all.
Yeah.
They were going week two.
And maybe they would have rather had nothing than to have to sit through Blink 182. Maybe that's it's like punitive.
It is such a weird swap.
Like, wild swap.
Yeah.
It's amazing they could get anybody big enough to headline Coachella in 2 days they had. Like, how long do they have to? It's like you got to walk out there and go, holy shit, what the fuck is he doing? Get on the phone.
You know anyone?
Make a movie about this guy who figured this out.
Yeah. The guy who saved 2023 Coachella.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the hot picks.
Call Travis Barton.
Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Katie's first pick. Fever Ray, Even It Out. Listen to this while you're stabbing someone?
Or just, prepping dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, stabbing you.
Oh, what is the name? There's this movie. What is it called?
I like that one.
It's very cool.
Cool this drums, song, cool vibe.
I like this whole album is really cool. Fever Ray is a solo project of the person that is the singer for The Knife. So if that song Heartbeats was real famous. But they're cool. And the cover art for this album is bonkers. They're like in a bald cap with weird long hair and like weird yellow eye makeup and a suit. And it's really fun.
I like it. It's like menacing without them screaming, you know, they're like, we're coming for you, but it's like slow. Right. I like it. It's a cool atmosphere.
Yeah. I like the whole album, like I said, but the production. So I tend to like kind of synth things that are a little bit sinister sounding.
Mm.
So this is definitely in
like
in
the
that
Beatles
ballpark. Yeah, namely
like the Beatles.
Yeah. Have you heard Abbey Road?
Like the beginning of A Day in the Life. Crank, 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 crank.
Right.
All that shit. Oh wow, I'm looking at the picture now. She looks like Riff Raff from Rocky Horror.
Oh, yeah,
Picture
from Rocky
Show.
Horror, it does.
Yeah, or like, that's spooky. Or like the guy from the Six Flags, you know, the...
Oh, yeah, oh. I forgot about that
the
weird guy.
The Venga Boys is coming.
An inner city disco, that Venga Boys song
city
is...
Inner city disco.
Great. Yeah, so that's Fever Ray.
That's cool. That's a great pick.
Thank you.
Katie's constantly recommending good music I've never heard before.
Right on.
In our group chats. This is a valuable source of information. You recommended that Jan Hammer group album to me that I really wore out. Like, it's been a while since I've listened to an album that much.
And it was fun. Just
like
that
felt
one's...
like really like I was hearing something I needed.
Right. I love that one too.
Which one?
Jan Hammer group. It's in the late 70s. It's called Melodies or something like that. Or like,
let me look up the specific title.
It's just like an incredible, it's like
Melodies.
To me,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so good. It's so solid. Every song. And it sounds like it could have been made today. Yeah.
It sounds, I think when I sent it, I probably said this, that it, like, it's something that you listen to and you go, oh, there's no way Thundercat doesn't like this. Like, the song Don't You Know is the one that I think that I shared that. And that one reminds me a lot of like Them Changes by Thundercat. So
it's got a little bit of like a Steely Dan element to it, but in a less off-putting way than some
less
Steely
jazzy.
Dan. Less like, yeah, I'm trying to scramble your brain.
It's just, real fun groove. I like his singing.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. And he did You Can't Touch This. And Hammer don't hurt him. Had all that stuff.
Yeah. MC Young Hammer. He did do the Miami Vice theme song.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's which is so
that's
funny.
How America knows him.
Yes.
The Miami Vice guy.
He's like one of those guys, I feel like, in the 70s and 80s who is probably like not famous because he was like bald and like nerdy looking, but it just actually has like the deepest sense of, you know, like groove of anyone.
Yeah. I don't know this, but I'm curious if he would have been a type of guy where, yeah, not getting like a lot Todd of radio Rundgren. Play.
Yeah. Like a Todd Rundgren.
Yeah. Like where if Todd you're Rundgren. In the industry, everybody knows like he's a musician's musician or whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But he's not as into like, you know, putting it all together, stage show, look.
Yeah.
All that.
All right, coming in number four.
Number four.
This is my first pick. The band is called Fucking Champs. The Fucking Champs.
Damn.
And this song is called Some They're
Australian?
Swords.
They got to be Australian.
I don't know.
Put fucking writing in their title like that?
Wait, is this it? That's not the song.
That's from the classical app. You got your
yeah. You're in the wrong Apple Music.
Beethoven's The Fucking Champs.
Yeah.
His B-side.
Apple designed it so it takes over your music.
Yeah. A donkey.
I'm picturing McCartney's quote. It's easy. It's just easy.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think I even made it this far to the song. It might be an instrumental.
I like it. It's challenging. Some of Henry Rollins would be like, you got to put that on.
Henry Rollins.
Do it sober in 119 degree heat.
I like that this type of thing where there's part of it where they're like asking you to do a little bit of math, I think, to follow along.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Where, you know, the beginning where it's kind of a repeated rhythmic thing and they're just changing the harmony or like,
yeah,
there are parts of it that feel very accessible. And then you go, oh, hold, what? Huh?
Hey,
and
is
then
you're back where are we going?
Yeah.
Whoa, what's the theory here?
Yeah. Everyone's got ADHD these days, you know? It's like you got to mix up. You can't just do a simple riff in 4/4. We've all heard it before. You gotta you gotta fuck it up at the end to make it interesting.
Yeah. It's like a new prescription.
Yeah. People are understimulated. So let's amp it.
Let's give them this to think about.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Katie's second pick. This is Deer Hoof with Sit Down, Let Me Tell You a Story. Which I think is different than the Deerhoof song I gave before. This album's awesome.
Sa a sa koko ni kite ko ran kaminari o kotte ko ya ha u Oshitsubusaresouninaru.
That's These just so cool.
Impressive picks. We don't even usually let the guests have two picks, but these are both really good picks.
Oh, thank you. Well, Brett mentioned having played a song from this album previously. So this just came out like March 31st or something. I So what's funny from the sample that we just heard is I would actually say that this album is relatively subdued for Deerhoof.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, I
think
say,
of that as a more listenable version of them.
They're mellowing like,
believe
out
it or not.
Age.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they have other albums that are relatively accessible. I think like I really like Breakup Song from 2012 and Friend Opportunity, I think, is from 2007. But they're cool. I mean, this is another example of where you're like, oh, OK, I'm following along. And then something huge changes and you go, whoa. But for me, I feel like that's what makes it really re-listenable of just like, no, I'm going to figure it out where I can anticipate all these different little changes.
They always sound
then
like
you feel like accomplished when you figure when you got it.
They always sound like they are like wrestling the guitars in a way I don't know how to do. Or something like they're just somehow mangling those things up.
Some of the guitar in this song in particular reminds me of, are you familiar with Delicate Steve?
Heard of him? Is that the masseuse?
I was going to say, is that a Pornhub? Pornhub channel?
I don't think so.
No, he tours with a band, but I guess it's just a guy. Yeah, Delicate Steve. He toured with Tame Impala a few years ago. That's unfortunate that it really does sound like it. Either that or like an ASMR channel.
Yeah, yeah.
It does sound like it would be the masseuse at Coachella, like if somebody set up a booth.
And
go down to Delicate Steve, he'll take care of you.
It sounds like a custom clip. I made this custom clip for Delicate Steve, my OnlyFans patron. Steve, you're so delicate. You're so delicate, Steve.
He's like a cool guitar guy.
I know C6 Steve. Isn't there a C6 Steve?
That could just be a guy Steve? You know.
Yeah.
No, this guy I met on a boat.
I hang out with him in the alley behind. No, C6 Steve is like a acoustic guitar.
Oh, cool. Guy. Oh, yeah, I'm looking him up. I do not know either of these Steves. I'm not up on my Steves.
Adjectival Steves.
Learn your Steves, bro. No, that's a good pick. And then, like a lot of times too, you say, well, if I listen to this music, the lyrics is kind of a non-factor because I can't speak the language, but they were doing weird harmonies and stuff. It made it interesting, even though you couldn't understand it.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds meathead, but
I never understand the lyrics anyway. So
this album is like more of the lyrics are in Japanese than in others of theirs. Like she usually sings in English, but again, where the lyrics are not the focus particularly.
Yeah.
It's fun.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
I think this is going to be yet another challenging thing. This is Flagman. I think I brought in some of their last album a year or two ago. This is Hot Off the Log.
Oh, my God.
I love the sound these guys are doing. That's what the Seinfeld bassist is doing these days. He started this band.
Season 28.
Yeah.
I like things like, you know, there's a lot of music where it's mainly someone screaming at you. And that's fine. Sure. I like that energy. But I think I do like this kind of version of it where there's musicality, I guess, or where you're like, oh, you're all super good at your instruments.
Yeah,
sure.
And
it's more of a punk scream. There's many different kinds of screaming, you know. Some of them are just lack a certain, I don't know, subtlety or something. Like, this sounds like a punky guy screaming at you.
Yeah, this sounds like a forward-thinking urban guy, as opposed to like a rural or suburban guy. Right. Going,
or I picture like a weirdo just like you know, flipping out somewhere rather than somebody threatening me.
Right. But, he's only a harm to himself.
This reminds me of early Mr. Bungle. Like, Mr. Bungle's reformed now, and they're basically just like a thrash band, which is cool, but they've had so many eras, and this reminds me of like early Bungle, which is just a lot of freakouts and like back and forth into wildly different genres and stuff, which I like.
That's cool. It's fun when something reminds you of a different band, but you're like, yeah, they stopped doing this sound, but I like that.
Yeah,
it's always nice when someone like, else does the thing you like.
When like young people are just forming these bands that are like almost like honoring this era that they had no part in, you know, but they're
Greta
doing it,
Van
right?
Fleet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it, you know, or sometimes they just pick a really good choice for the year you're in. You're like,
yeah,
I'm ready to just hear that sound again. Like, it feels fresh to bring that green jelly thing back or whatever.
Or I think you can tell the difference of where, you know, it's, I'm sure it's all coming from some place of admiration, but where it's more they've internalized it and they're using it rather than trying to recapture almost like an aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't do it so much on the nose. They use it. Yeah. Yeah. They mix it with something else maybe.
Yeah.
That's all everyone ever did, I think. Like Paul writing all those music hall songs and stuff.
So. Yeah. And I think they work because he was bringing his own thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
They copied Oasis, let's face it. Come on.
Man, I remember when for the Beatles podcast. Okay, two things. Yeah. One, for the Beatles podcast, we watched the movie yesterday. Quick tangent is because the new Spider-Man movie is called Across the Spider-Verse. My friend and I were joking about that it's the same plot as yesterday, where only one guy in the whole world remembers the Beatles, but also he's Spider-Man.
Right.
I don't think that would be a good
Wait,
movie.
You said also is Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Okay, Across so Spider-Man remembers the Beatles. Uh-huh. No one else
He's juggling a lot of secrets.
It's truly arguable that that would be the more impressive thing. Like, if he could do everything that Spider-Man could do, but also...
Spider-Man
from Seinfeld, but also knew the whole Beatles catalog and you didn't and could just sing those songs to you.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going with that skill.
Oh, and then
the web slinging.
He finds out this Dr. is what Octopus I, also is, knows about the Beatles and it's a whole problem.
Now you're paying off that show. I'm hearing nerdy Beatle theories. This is good.
But in the movie yesterday, they make kind of a throwaway joke about that, you know, the Beatles don't exist. So he's like Googling and figures out that Oasis also doesn't exist, which fine, joke is fine. But in my mind, I was like, why aren't you performing Oasis songs? They were famous much more recently.
You
know, yeah. I mean, just include those too. You could steal those just as easily.
Yeah.
Do it.
Grab it. Low hanging fruit.
All right. Coming in, number one.
Number one.
We got Howard's pick. This is Drew Parker with Middle of Nowhere.
I gotta preface this one. First of all, turn off all the rest of the parts of your brain you were using to listen to that other
Great.
Music.
I'm
this
ready.
This is a full on left turn.
This is anyway, cringe country.
This is cringe country. It's modern nice. Country. This one's funny because the guy's basically trying. The message of the song is I'm not white trash. But
okay. I was gonna say we could do our quiz. We could do our country game. Guessing what this title possibly means.
I already fucked it up, I guess.
So you're saying he's like middle class.
He's saying I'm not white trash, basically, but just listen to all the descriptors.
Okay. Is it supposed to be funny? Like, is it
middle of nowhere?
Is it self-aware, do you think? Or are we like, man, listen to yourself?
That's up to you to interpret. I mean, usually these songs are not very meta. They're not very like... Yeah, no, this is like suburban rural product. It's like all very right. Earnest.
Yeah, here we go.
Where the bling and you miss it. Blue collar kind got her name on the tank. Clothes on the line. We work like a dog. Till Friday at 5, put 20 in the truck. 12 on ice and our IGA. Ain't got no IPA. We drink Bud Heaven at the bowling alley down the road. We drive feds or up Chevys, stretch a check as far as it can go. All we ain't blue bloods and we ain't white trash. We land somewhere in the middle of nowhere class.
Okay.
I love it.
So, this is the kind of thing, like, nobody thinks they're white trash. It's always somebody else.
Of course, yeah.
Like, he says, we drink Budweiser down at the bowling alley.
Bud Heavies.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering if that gives him, if he wants to change that lyric now or not.
But right.
You don't know in these country circles.
Yeah. We're trans allies. Yeah. We buy the right. beer that supports the trans. Yeah, but he says we drive fixer-up Chevys. We put $20 in the gas tank. Like, every single thing right. he described is like trash bags. That's funny.
I also just like, that has the same lyrical content as every country song in the 90s. Sure. And every.
Yeah. Yeah. It's timeless.
Just like, I feel like everyone here knows about trucks. Like, we all right. know you have.
Well, that's their audience. They that's want to the hear thing. More about it.
I think it's like.
They want to see themselves almost, reflected in the art.
Yeah.
It is. It's like a poetic form or something. It's almost like a haiku where there's rules. Like, you're talking about your truck. That's like, that is just part of the form. And then there's all that matters is just that little twist in the chorus. Like, what is that one little hook that people haven't done before?
Yeah.
And in this but case, I will,
slightly
like
elevated class awareness.
He's saying I'm middle class. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like with any genre of anything, you can tell when something's a little cut above. Like, it is kind of hard to talk about a truck in a new way. So then every like year or so when somebody does find out a way to do it, you go, oh, that's pretty good.
I've heard, right. Yeah.
I heard Keith Urban describe country music that way. Like, it's not that easy if you tried to do it. It's easy to make fun of, and it's very
like the blues,
like, almost, derivative.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the blues has a form, and it's easy to say, like, oh, you're just doing this, it's that same thing again. But no, there's good and bad. Not as easy as it looks.
But I like country better than blues. Blues just hadn't done anything original in like 50 years. Country, at least they're mixing it with EDM. They're trying. They're doing right. something with it. It's kind of like what you were saying about the bands that too much on the nose or they're, you know.
Yeah.
Like Bruno Mars just does right on the nose. Yeah. Beck will take genres and right. mix them together.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway. That was tough to follow Deerhoof with Drew Parker, but we did it.
I mean, none of us speak Japanese. That song could have had the exact same lyrics. We don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
Might have been about the same exact thing.
Yeah. Bud Heavy at the bowling alley.
It's about the Toyota.
Bud Heavy. Yeah, even that, like, you learn something about the culture, a Bud Heavy.
That's what we call them in college.
Yeah, same.
It's the first time I ever had a standard Budweiser and not a Bud Light.
They people, are. They it's an apt name.
Heavies.
It feels like you're drinking something that a liquid that has been thickened.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It tastes better. Like, it's like, oh, liquid. This is what it's supposed to taste like.
It's like a meal replacement yeah. shake.
Right. Yeah.
Satisfying. Right on. Well, we learned a lot today. Thank you so much. Want to tell everybody, you guys can check out the aptly named Sitting Around Talking About the Fucking Beatles.
Nice.
So screw it. We're just going to talk about the Beatles is the one that Brett and I do with Will Hines and Joel Spence. Usually it's Will Hines' podcast. So sometimes it's other people.
Do you guys go anti Yoko? Do you go anti Linda? Do you go anti Stu Sutcliffe? Do you come at the hangers on, the surrounding types?
Anti
Murray the K. What he
will roast? We'll roast Klaus Vormann a lot.
It's less roasting and more just us doing the worst German accent.
Was he the Beatles soccer coach?
He actually did the Revolver album art, but he's a bassist and a musician who pops up everywhere, like just behind the scenes.
He was in,
and he's on all their solo stuff. He's popping up Beetle. Everywhere.
He was in Manfred Mann. He plays bass on "You're So Vain." He does that little bass thing at the beginning of that song.
Yeah, he's clearly very talented.
We love Klaus.
We just want to make fun of him.
We went to his art show.
Yeah. We're not ripping on Yoko or doing like hacky stuff. I just feel like that's a little bit. That's been done.
But I mean, there's others.
We're not doing. There's others. You got to take your shots.
Brian Johnson. What was his name? Brian.
From AC/DC.
Brian Epstein?
Yeah. Brian Epstein. Brian Epstein. He had that island. There's stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff.
You'll get to it.
There's stuff.
Check that out.
It's funny.
Absolutely. And start Comedy Bang Bang World.
Comedy Bang Bang World, we are doing some live dates to promote Scott's Comedy Bang Bang book. We just did one at Largo. Nice. We just did one at Largo this week, and it was super fun. I think that's out now, and we're doing Kulop in a the couple book? More. I think so. I saw her, by the way, at Largo. It was good to see Kulop.
Shout out, of course. Yep.
She's got mother energy now. They have a very cute kid. She's doing well.
Awesome. Check it out. And check out haveasummer.com. Check out Drop Date Duel. Check out Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.